last meeting, this year came in very early, about the ridiculous hour from 6:30, December 31st. Then getting up, taking with him Jake Pickle and I think Ron Thomas. Then I got $1,000 for a quick trip to Dallas and New Zealand also to see the game. And then I luxuriously and self-indulgently went back to sleep and woke up about 10 o'clock. After a while, the man came in and got a big breakfast, and then around the living room was pulling important faces, arrived on a plane from Washington, Mr. Stops, Mr. Murphy, a great many people say, well, things that must be done rather than through. After a while, they left. The man has turned to my kinfolks. Weston was the first to arrive. They with him, Sarah and Susan. They must have gotten here about 1 week afterwards, and then they waited for Tony and Montana, who arrived around 10. T.J. the Third, and Christine, and Nancy, and Sally, we all sat down for lunch. After lunch, the nucleus of us, that is, Tony and T.J. and I, together with Don Thomas and Sandy Shapiro, got around in a business session about my daddy's estate, which boiled down the fact must make some sort of an offer to move, to arrive at a community settlement. Plans were projected by Bone and Bone Sandy. And I hope that sometime in January or February we will arrive at some prospect of separation of this long tenured estate. Lemon joined us very late in the day, probably about 4:30 or 5, and in his usual manner put in his advice on about 3 succinct sentences, which added a new element to the discussions that we had contained, and it's probably a year that we would absorb it. And we called Chris and the Chambers and went over to Chris Village, and we took the team over to the cooker, and we sat down to our delicious dinner of steaks and some of the wine that was brought over by Jackson Airport. And it was a wonderful way to welcome the new year in with my own dear family, people that I love as much as the best. Only over my shoulder I catch a glimpse of the blessed glow of the sunset on the river. And I can hope again and see the deer and maybe get one shot. And I was aware this was the last day of the season, but tomorrow I can see them just as alive and beautiful as ever, even if I can't shoot them. And that's what we'll do. Lend me what to do. But I will hurry to get up and leave, very much against my wishes, to go down to Boston to two parties, which had many reasons for wanting to go to. One was the Tech McGraw's party, and the other one bores me. And I don't know anybody that's projected more time and more devotion to us than bores me. And another, the press party, which was being held jointly by the Washington Police about Denver. It was a beautifully produced film, quite moving, would be factual enough, very dramatic. I loved it. I'm even glad I landed to look at it. And then, pretty soon, they sleep at all, and the family room sat around the fire. Got an extra glass of wine and put on an extra stick of wood. Then we talked about all the old pictures of the brick house and the store and of times that we remembered in our childhood. Each one was from our favorite stores too. About Daddy, my mother, our Tommy, our days when we were young. And mostly we just enjoyed being together, and it's good when people feel that they're doing each other. Somebody showed me the clippings about rings and the story about the brick house. We sure got out of lucky on that one, because John Steinbeck and Tennessee Williams together couldn't have combined to produce a better tragedy than the story of the latter days of the Great House. And I understand that they're going to pick something on the Ladybird Room at the Excelsior Hotel, and there were some hilarious pictures of me and the 2 years that I spent there at the age of 12 and 13. That's really going to be something to see. Finally, we said goodnight, because I think I've been welcoming the New Year best. But during my final little bit of work on this, and wake up tomorrow to greet everybody and go and look at the day. Goodbye to 1963. Payment. And if that wasn't a job for Cactus, to meld together that very diverse entertainment, I think he did a masterful, dignified job. We had a group of girls from Fredericksburg who did folk dances brought over from the old country, including the Herr Schmidt. Then we had St. Mary's Choir, led by a nun, who sang some beautiful German songs, and then sang Deep in the Heart of Texas. And that caused the chancellor to smile and lean over to me and say, and he does speak some English. We know that in Germany, too. Then we had Van Cliburn, who was the climax of the entertainment. He was born and raised in Deep East Texas, just about 40 miles from where I was. And he's turned out to be one of the world's great pianists. And it was a masterful introduction that Cactus gave of him, and I was just as proud of Cactus as I was of anybody in the whole show. Van Cliburn did the Impassionata from Beethoven, I think, isn't it? And then he did a beautiful human love song and some other things that I didn't know. And everybody was very impressed, especially when he said that he was so glad to play for us because he had heard that the Chancellor himself had been a pianist as a young man and that he had expected to be a concert pianist. Cliburn is going to Germany for a concert pianist tour sometime this spring, which added to the interest of his being there. Next, and I almost swear there was no planned agenda, Lyndon got up and introduced the outstanding Germans, giving a few words about each. Then he introduced the outstanding members of our own party, and his introduction of Secretary of State Dean Rusk was one of the most eloquent and moving and beautiful things that I've ever heard him do. Somewhere on the agenda came the talks. The Chancellor's talk,
which I didn't understand, of course, until the translation came, was pure poetry. It was a great talk, and it made me think that all the effort was worthwhile, and that maybe we had put a little more cement into the building of good relations. Lyndon's talk was brief and good.